Hello, this is Denise Yon, and welcome to the Brand is Business Bites podcast. The Brand is Business Bites podcast gives you a taste of insights and information about brands, businesses, and the people who work on them. It's available on iTunes. For more stuff for your brain to chew on, please visit my website at deniseleeyon.com. Welcome. Today's interview is about what happens when a 125-year-old, $35 billion company gets entrepreneurial. My guest is Marianne Summers, Vice President with Coca-Cola in the company's Venturing and Emerging Brands Business Unit. Marianne is responsible for developing the, quote, next big thing by defining the consumer sweet spots, integrating with the entrepreneurial community, identifying overseas brands with U.S. potential, and building new internal brands from scratch. Now, I want to let Marianne tell you more about the specific work she's doing, so let's get right to it. Welcome, Marianne.
Hi, Denise. Thanks for having me.
I'm so excited to have you share about what you're doing. So please tell me or tell us more about the charter for your group and some of your recent successes.
Sure. Overall, we're really looking to build brands with billion-dollar potential. You know, obviously, we are a global company with big brands, and we're looking to see in the small space what's starting out and what has the ability and potential to grow into something larger and mainstream for a scaled business. So what we do is we have two strategies against that mission, and one of them is investment, and one of them is internal innovation. So on the investment side of it, what we do is we look at white spaces that we're interested in, and we look at entrepreneurs who are launching products and building brands in those white spaces. So the group is about 5 years old, and one of the early things that we did was we acquired the Fuse and NOS brands.
Mm-hmm.
Those brands we acquired and we integrated into the system, and they've hit their goals and have done very well and have been an important part of our overall portfolio at Coke, so that's been a great thing. And then we also made some minority investments over time, over the last 3 years. About 2007, we invested in Honest Tea. We had a minority mm-hmm. stake in that with a path to ownership, and we did acquire the brand last year. Mm-hmm. So that's been one that's been, you know, a really rewarding investment. And then also we have invested in Zico Coconut Water. We have a minority mm-hmm. stake in Zico with a path to ownership with that brand as well. And with things like, you know, Honest, it's doing really well. It's growing, you know, 40% in supermarkets. We've brought it into the system. It's nationally distributed. So that's been something that's been very important to us as a brand and as a company to get into the organic and all-natural space. And Zico, I mean, this segment is just, you know, growing so rapidly. Overall, coconut water,
right.
It's growing by, you know, more than double. And the Zico brand itself has tripled in the last few years and is really on par when we look at it from a size standpoint. It's about the same size, just a little bit smaller than Vitamin Water was at the same point in time. So we're really optimistic about what Zico can do in the future.
Right, right.
And
now, what about
and then
the
also,
innovation part? Oh, I'm sorry. Go
yeah,
ahead.
Yeah, exactly. So that's the part I realized I was talking about investment. Now, getting to the internal innovation. So there are three brands that we're focused on there. The first one is a joint venture with the Illy company, and so we have a ready-to-drink coffee called Illyissimo. And what we did is we launched that in New York and California and seeded the brand there and built it out, and it's been doing very well. It's also been in the natural channel, so in places like Whole Foods, where it's turning, you know, exceptionally well, where people are, you know, looking for something genuine, high-quality coffee that is on the go. So that's going pretty well. And then the other two that we're incubating. We've developed two brands with Whole Foods, getting their input along the way. One is a natural soda called Cascal, where we use a fermentation process to bring out like complex flavors, and that's a product that we don't add, other than the actual fruit juice that's in it, we don't add any extra sugar in the product itself or even in the fermentation process itself. And so that's in, we have a bunch of different flavors, and that's in Whole Foods across the country. And then the third one is we've imported our brand Sokenbicha, which is one of our leading teas from Japan. And it's a lightly brewed tea with natural botanicals in it. And it has zero calories, no sweetener in it. So it's drinks like, you know, it's got the purity and the drinkability of water, but the goodness of teas and botanicals. So, and it actually, Sokenbicha, the name itself means healthy, refreshing tea. So we've brought that out, and we're incubating that in Whole Foods as well.
Wow. So you've got a lot going on there.
We do. I have to say it's one of the most fun jobs I've had. I've had a lot of different jobs at different companies, and the range of what we're doing is really exciting. So to be able to work externally with entrepreneurs who are out in the marketplace building these brands up, and to also be living that life as entrepreneurs and developing brands from the ground up, both from a conceptual standpoint to a route to market to, you know, an activation, is really fun. I have to, you know, it's something different than anything I've done before.
Wow, wow. Well, I want to ask you about some of the things that you mentioned. And, you know, one of them is, you know, you talked about, like, these different existing brands that you are making investments in. And I noticed when I was looking at your the criteria that you use for determining whether you want to, you know, invest in a brand to include in your portfolio, one of the criteria is an authentic brand story. And so I wonder if you could tell me, like, how do you determine this? Why is this important? And then maybe if you have, like, an example of how you viewed one of the brands that has met this criteria.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I'm glad you picked up on that, because it's such an important thing. And there's so much talk these days about authenticity and transparency and all these kinds of things, but what does it really mean to us? And there's kind of two parts to it. I mean, one is quantitative and one is qualitative, and both equally important. But when we look at it, you know, one of the key things is for an external brand in particular is the entrepreneur, him or herself. So many times we find that brands that are really successful are brands that were created for the founder's needs. So you have a need out there, you have a need, and you find that there's not a product out there that's filling it. So you kind of go to yourself, well, what can I do? You can create the product and fulfill that need yourself. So an example of that would be, you know, Seth Goldman, who started Honest Tea, he did not like, you know, really high sugar drinks. And he's a runner, and he'd come back from his runs and he'd want something more than water, and he didn't want a lot of sugar. And he just found that there wasn't a product that served his needs or what he wanted. So he started creating it out of his own kitchen and brewing, you know, a tea that had, you know, it was just a tad sweet. And that was something that he wanted. And so we find that a lot of times, you know, they're called user entrepreneurs, where they're creating something for themselves and their family, and they're living that. So it's not like they have to go out and do focus groups, because they are the focus group.
That's right.
You know? And so that's a big part of it. And then through that, they're also developing, you know, an overall mission. It's to bring this product to the marketplace for a specific reason. And, you know, in Seth's case, what happened is, as he got into it, you know, he personally is very committed and lives a very sustainable life. So he started really integrating that into his business. And that became the mission of his business, to be, you know, socially responsible and sustainable. So, you know, over time, he's been able to transition all his products to USDA certified organic and also fair trade. So those were things that were very important to him, and you see that kind of mission-driven business, you know, through the entrepreneur. So when we think of, you know, authentic brand stories, that's that entrepreneur really living the brand and bringing the brand to life. So that's a big part of kind of, you know, the overall softer side that we're looking at, but importantly, it's how the brand itself is growing. So if you think about it, you know, a brand could try to go very broad and shallow, or narrow and deep. And our preference is always the narrow and deep, because that it really reflects a more authentic brand and a more sustainable brand. So we look at brands that have started in a specific region, have gotten distribution in that region or city or, you know, area, and built a deep, committed, involved consumer group.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you will, you know, advocates or super fans or whatever you want to call them, but really connected with a group of people in some way that is, you know, about emotionally about the brand as well as what the brand has to offer from a product standpoint. And, you know, if we see that brand has connected in there and they've gotten into certain kinds of classes of trade or retail channels that help build that brand, that helps create the story as well. So if you think about an example, that would be Zico coconut water, where they went into New York and California, and, you know, one of the first things they did is they went to yoga studios because there was really a need for, you know, doing hot yoga, getting dehydrated and, you know, selling the product in those outlets. They created a really deep and committed, highly involved consumer group. And then as they showed success and they were in retail environments where the product's turning and doing well, then you can say, okay, that's deep and narrow and that's scalable. I can see how I can expand that to other cities and it would work. So that's something that's really important to us. You know, we think about proof of concept. You know, have you shown that these are really good, kind of high quality sales, where you're not going too broad from a retail standpoint and too broad from a consumer standpoint, where you haven't really connected to people. You know, we talk about this phenomenon called boom splat. You know, getting distribution is not really an issue for Coca-Cola. I mean, arguably it's, you know, one of the best distribution systems out there. So
right.
We can get products on the shelf. You know, they can get out there, but, you know, are they going to turn? Have they connected deeply? Do we have a brand that means something to people? You know, so you can go boom, splat, you can get the distribution, but if you don't have the pull and the authenticity with consumers, you know, you just fall on your face. And so really our goal when we think about it is to get those kinds of brands, you know, to invest in those kinds of brands that are have high quality sales, have deep connections. And they can be small. I mean, they can be very limited in where they're offered, because expanding them is the easy part. It's the harder part is really defining a brand that means something to people. And in order to do that, that authentic brand story is such a big part of that. Does that make sense?
Right. Yes, absolutely. But I think that, you know, one of the risks of, you know, taking on a brand like that that has this very committed following and you know, customers who feel like they probably feel like they own the brand as much as the company does in some ways. You know, I could see how, you know, Coke coming in and buying that company might be an issue. I know that, you know, there was a lot of buzz when Coke ultimately purchased Honest Tea that, you know, there's some concerns like, oh, you know, is this going to be another situation where like a big bad corporation comes and squashes a small brand soul, you know, like the whole Ben and Jerry story, whatever. And and so I'm just curious as to how do you address those concerns and you know, how do you think about them?
And I think, it, you know, those are great questions, and that's something that we're, you know, sensitive to, because we do see the magic in these entrepreneurs and in these brands. And as they grow, you know, they meet different challenges that, you know, you want to maintain what the brand's all about. A couple things from our standpoint that we've done. First of all, one of the main things is the existence of our group. So rather than just kind of going out and making acquisitions and then that acquisition gets absorbed in some shape or form into the main organization, we've created this separate group, Venturing and Emerging Brands, where we really are the bridge from the big company to the small company and the entrepreneurs. And we live in that middle space. We're all a group of people that have a lot of different experiences, most of whom have had small brand and entrepreneurial experiences as well as big company experiences. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, we get it. You know, we get what it's about building these brands from the ground up. And I think that that's an important part. And we spend a lot of time with the entrepreneurs. So, you know, the other part is that we build these deals with a path to ownership. We don't go in right from the get-go from an acquisition. So, you know, we make a minority investment and we grow with the brand together and we learn how to work together. We learn how to partner and use each other's strengths to, you know, accelerate the brand growth in an authentic way. So, for example, you know, as these brands get bigger and get more into our Coca-Cola system, you know, things like data and analysis and all that kind of stuff becomes more and more important as you go broader and broader. And those are things that we can help the entrepreneur with. We can enable him in that way, him or her in that way. So there's kind of a mutual collaboration and partnership that you have to develop early on, and a trust that you have to develop early on to, you know, nurture and accelerate the brand at the right time. I'd also say what we've done, you know, with Honest is that Seth continues to run the business, and he continues to run it from Bethesda, and there hasn't been a lot of change, a lot of personnel change in his group. And, you know, there hasn't, if you see the way the brand is functioning, there hasn't been a lot of change in the way the brand is functioning. So we're sensitive to it, and we want to maintain it as much as possible. And I think we've got, you know, some good things built in the infrastructure, like our group itself, you know, long-term partnerships, some experiences ourselves on the entrepreneurial side that help us, you know, bridge that gap and help the transition into the overall Coke business, you know, the Coke system itself.
Right. That makes a lot of sense. And Marianne, I want to thank you so much for being with us today and sharing about all the work that you're doing and the thought process behind it. It's just very fascinating. So really appreciate you being here. For my listeners, I want to let you know that you can learn more about Marianne's group, the Venturing and Emerging Brands business unit at Coke. Two ways. One, you can check out their website, which is www.veb@coke.com. So that's V as in Victor, E as in Ellen, B as in boy, @coke.com. Or on Twitter, and their Twitter handle is veb@coke as well. So again, Marianne, thank you so much. I've learned a lot, and again, I really appreciate you sharing everything with my listeners.
That's it for today. Thanks for listening to the Brand as Business Bites podcast. Be sure to subscribe to the podcast on iTunes so your brain will always be filled with good stuff to chew on. For more information or to contact me directly, please visit my website at deniseleeyan.com. Take care, and thanks again.